Are you a high-earning and successful single? Maybe you're an alpha woman who has reached a lot of highs in your career, or maybe you're the kind of guy who has it all, except for that one asset, that feminine woman who's gonna add sparkle to your life. Listen, whether you're a guy or a girl, here's what I can tell you. I have seen it all as a matchmaker and dating coach for some of the most high-value singles around, and what I have learned throughout my years in doing this is that self-awareness will truly set you free. And a lot of people think that they're self-aware, but they really don't have that knowledge of modern dating. And where I think that this episode might be able to really help you is understanding perhaps how the other person that you're trying to attract really is approaching dating. And maybe you have no idea how men think or no idea how women think, and you've been doing it wrong this whole time. So hopefully this episode will help shake you up and maybe give you a bit of that dose of reality that will ultimately set you on a better path so that you can accelerate your dating life and ultimately meet your person and get out of the dating game altogether. If that sounds good to you, then please stick around with me because we're gonna be diving into all of that today. I'm Nelly Sujary, the number one dating coach and matchmaker for high value singles. I use data-driven solutions to help modern successful singles find love in today's dumpster fire dating economy. So if you're ready to meet your person and get out of the dating game for good, you're in the right place. Welcome to the High Value Dating Podcast. Hi, it's Nelly, the dating coach and matchmaker. Welcome back to the podcast where we talk about all things modern dating, love, and relationships. So the question that just came in from a female listener was surrounding the idea that she has achieved a certain level of success and a lot of kind of great things in her professional life, but she hasn't been able to translate that success into her dating life, specifically when it comes to essentially attracting a man who is above her for all intents and purposes, which, you know, is not uncommon, by the way. You know, I've worked with a lot of women and a lot of men. But specifically when it comes to women, one of the things I notice is as we as women achieve more success in our careers, sometimes translating that into our love lives becomes even more challenging. And I would argue that successful women have the hardest time dating of all women, which we're going to discuss on today's podcast. So the first word that comes to mind when I encounter clients or even I have friends and people in my personal life who I think really resonate with that message is the word hypergamy, which essentially means that women tend to seek out partners who are superior to them, typically in the socioeconomical department. So they want financially better off partners than they are. And I can understand the mentality, and I don't fault it at all, by the way, because if you think about it, if you're a woman, and if you're a man, by the way, this is what a lot of women personally, you know, encounter is you're already making, let's say, $100,000, $150,000, maybe more, but we'll just kind of use that as an example. The idea that you'd want to partner with a man who's earning less isn't appealing because a lot of the things that a man would be providing you with, well, you can provide yourself with. In fact, a lot of women might even feel that that dynamic of being the primary breadwinner in the relationship would be a big disadvantage because it would force that woman to be more in her masculine energy, right? Whoever controls the money, and maybe this is controversial to say, but you know, whoever controls the money kind of does influence the power dynamic. And I do personally believe that every relationship has a power dynamic. And so, you know, studies even support that when a woman earns more than her man, especially in marriage, well, the likelihood of them getting a divorce goes up by 50%. Divorce already starts around 50%. So add on another 50%. And you know what's also interesting is if a wife is out-earning her husband, the likelihood that he will cheat on her soars up to 300%. And I've actually worked with very successful women who have tried dating down financially. And this typically is the case because it creates a lot of resentment. Again, she's assuming more of the kind of traditional masculine gender roles, if you will, of taking care of the bills and making financial decisions. I had one client who was a CEO and she was dating a guy who was not well off at all. And meanwhile, she was an eight-figure earner. And one time she told me he wanted to drive the Range Rover and she said, no, you drive the Toyota. That's my car. And so in lies a lot of the problems, and that was a big point of contention for them. I also see this with a lot of my other clients who are, you know, at that point in their life where they're ready to settle down. I have one client in particular who I just popped into my mind, and she is an executive at JP Morgan, about to become VP there. And she's high earning, obviously, 36 years old, ready to start, you know, a family and get married. But her dating pool is smaller. Why? Because the more success you as a woman achieve in your life, when it comes to career specifically, the smaller your dating pool becomes, because any man who's not earning more than you, you're not even really paying attention to. And like I said, even if you do date those guys, there are a whole slew of problems that come. So what happens is you're only looking at the guys who are making more than you. And this is where it gets tricky. Men date differently than women do. And a lot of women don't actually know this. I was shocked because when I started out my career in matchmaking and dating coaching, I kind of thought this was common knowledge that, like, yeah, men are more motivated by appearances than women are. Studies show that. And men prefer women who are in their feminine energy typically. But actually, a lot of women assume that men date the same way they do. For example, I've been around a lot of women who've said, but Nelly, I make $300,000, $500,000. Like, that is something that I think a lot of men would value. In fact, ladies, that is not what men value when it comes to their mate selection, especially if they are high earning men, right? If the guy is broke and he's looking for his next meal, then maybe that would be, something that would attract him. But the men who are earning more than you, well, they've already got their money. So while it might be great and a cherry on top that you are earning a high amount of money, that is not necessarily a driver as far as their decision-making goes and as far as whether they are going to pursue you and court you or not, right? Because they already have their money. And most of the time, women, and this is a bit of a generalization, but a lot of women do not approach dating from the perspective of, yeah, I'm going to be paying for these dates, right? So to a man, it's like, well, that's not really a value. What's a value to a lot of men, which I can attest to because I work with a significant number of high value men, is she attractive? Is she nurturing? Is she feminine? I have clients who are men who are Harvard graduates, who are multimillionaires. Heck, I even have clients who are billionaires. And they have told me, I don't really care if she's, you know, making a lot of money. I just care that she's doing something she's passionate about and that she takes care of herself and that she's in shape, right? And a lot of the times, I'll add this too, and I know this is going to ruffle some feathers, especially among women, because it's a very sensitive topic, but age, right? We can't have an honest conversation about modern dating if we don't have an honest conversation about age. The more successful a man is, typically the pickier he's going to get because he can afford to be picky. And we know through studies that men tend to prefer women who are younger than them. Doesn't mean that they want to date 18, 19, 20-year-olds. Okay, that would probably be, you know, problematic for the most part. But it does mean that they, if they have the option to and they are financially well off, don't always have an incentive to date a woman who is their peer age-wise because they have access to women who are younger. And I will say there are a lot of exceptions to the rule. And I don't think that age should be the end-all be-all for women because, frankly, I know plenty of women who are older. I have a second cousin who got remarried she was a single mom. She got remarried at 50, had a baby at 51. So it's definitely possible. I even think about Lauren Sanchez, who's engaged to Jeff Bezos. She's a single mom and she's 54. But as you achieve more success in your career, which success takes time, becoming established takes time, typically your dating pool is going to get, you know, it's going to change because you're not going to necessarily have the same leverage around men your age that you used to. So I suggest, ladies, if you are successful, that you consider dating up in age, which a lot of women are very averse to. You will be a little bit more competitive in the dating market if you are willing to date a guy who's 10, 15 years older than you. If you don't want to date a guy who's 10, 15 years older than you, that's totally fine. However, that means you cannot neglect other things that are important to men, right? Like your appearance. I have so many friends and even clients. I have another client who's a very successful executive. She works at a private equity firm and she went to Harvard. And she told me that, you know, with the guys that she's interested in, she doesn't feel confident being around them because she spends so much time working. She works from like 8 to 8 every night. She doesn't have time for the gym. She doesn't have time to get her hair done. And so she doesn't even feel confident going on these dates because she's neglected her appearance. And I'll tell you something, it matters. So it's really important that if you want a high-value man and you're a woman, you first of all understand how men think. And secondly, you also understand where you are in the dating market and how you can become the most competitive single in that market so that you have a lot more leverage in terms of the men you want to date. But it is tricky and it is kind of an annoying situation for a lot of women. And by the way, I don't blame women. I put a lot of the blame on society and culture because, you know, where we are right now is women are expected to wear a million hats, right? It reminds me of the Barbie movie, which I actually didn't watch, but I do remember seeing this one clip on TikTok and it was like, we're expected to be, you know, awesome business women, educated, you know, we're expected to be all these things and we have to look good and we have to have the perfect marriage and, you know, the family and all that, right? Yeah, there's a lot of pressure put on women by society. And, you know, especially if you come from a divorced household or you were raised by a single parent, I've noticed this because I come from a divorced household. You know, maybe a lot of the narrative growing up for you was be hyper independent, never depend on a man, make your own money. I even, you know, remember my stepmom who was married and she was not the primary breadwinner in the family telling me this, like never depend on a man, have your own money, have money set aside for a rainy day. This was drilled into me from a young age and I know I'm not alone. I know a lot of other women also identify with this, but it's really tricky for women right now because again, you're expected to be successful. You're expected to be smart. You're expected to be these things. Then you become these things. And what you come to realize is actually dating becomes harder. But I do think that there are ways to navigate modern dating. And one of my favorite quotes is, it's actually an Oprah quote. It's, you can have it all, but not all at once. So while you might be trying to rise to the ranks of your career, perhaps that's not the best time for you to date. But once you've checked that box, maybe it is. Or maybe it's like, hey, actually, I don't want to put my family plans and my, you know, plans of getting marriage on the back burner. So I'm going to prioritize that right now. And I'm going to deprioritize maybe getting a promotion. It doesn't mean that you're not going to strive to excel in your career, but different seasons for different things, right? And maybe none of that resonates. Maybe you're like, no, I want it all right now. Okay, well, if you want it all right now, you're going to have to work a little harder. Meaning you might have to wake up at 5 a.m. and hit the gym, right? Not ideal, but the women who are not, you know, working as hard as you are, they are probably prioritizing their fitness. They are probably prioritizing their appearance. So if you want it all, then you're going to have to fit it into the pie of life. But, you know, just to kind of emphasize this, it's not easy for women to date right now for the reasons discussed. Also, something to mention, ladies, is there was a study that came out of, I believe it was the Chicago Booth School of Business. And what was interesting is it was like a blind speed dating event study. And they had women, you know, dating men in this event. And a lot of the women downplayed their ambition to appear more desirable to men. Why is this a problem? Because eventually the mask is going to fall off, right? Eventually, you're not going to be able to uphold that image if that's not truly who you are. Like if you're a go-getter and you're an ambitious woman, I don't think you should mask that. I don't think you should hide that. I think you should be authentically who you are. Obviously, lean into your feminine energy. I believe we all have a combination of feminine and masculine energy within us. There's the yin and the yang, and the pendulum swings in different directions depending on where you are in your life. You know, maybe you're more in your masculine energy at work. Maybe you've kind of neglected your feminine energy and you don't know how to lean into it, which I've worked with a lot of women on, by the way. But, you know, if you are pretending to be anything less than what you are, and you're making yourself smaller to appear to be more desirable to a man, eventually that facade, I believe, will wear off. And so actually, one of the main takeaways from that study was that it is better for women to seek out partners who are more ambitious than they are and more successful than they are, because then it's not going to feel forced. It's not going to feel fake. However, like I said, when you seek out partners who are kind of above you, air quotations, actually I have a client who's super successful. She is a female entrepreneur. And she straight up told me, Nelly, said, what do you want in a guy? She goes, Nelly, I want a man who's better than me. and that's not to put women down at all. It's just her being honest. And I believe, you know, most of the women listening probably are nodding their heads right now saying, yeah, me too, if you're single. So point being, you know, if you want a man who's better than you, you are also going to have to compete with women on different indices who you're probably not familiar with, you know, as far as their playbook goes. Because the women that you're competing with, maybe they're 10, 15 years younger than you. Maybe they haven't neglected their appearance because they haven't been working so many hours. Or maybe if you're gorgeous, you know, I have one client, she's a CMO and she's stunning, but she has devoted her life to her career. And because of it, she is so hardwired to be in her masculine energy, right? So if you want the guy who's quote unquote above you, you also have to make him feel masculine. And the way to do that is to counteract it by being in your feminine energy, right? Being in your receiving mode, not leading with your resume, not feeling like you're constantly in a pissing competition with a guy, but rather, you know, being in a place where you are comfortable being courted, because you recognize that when you're comfortable being courted, you're actually more, you're more taken care of, right? I always say to women, why would you want to wear an extra hat? You already do enough for yourself in your life. Why do you want to make a reservation? Why do you want to plan out a date? Why do you want to pick up the bill? It's just more work for you. And actually it works against you when it comes to attracting high value men. So that's my advice kind of in a nutshell, bit of a tangent there, but just kind of recapping the advice for women, you know, first of all, being in your feminine energy goes a long way. Secondly, not to sound superficial, but don't neglect your appearance, especially if you are older in life and more mature. It's even more important that you really, you know, make sure you're bringing your A game. And one of the ways, by the way, to just kind of diving into that little point right there, sub point is, focusing on your appearance isn't just getting eyelash extensions and hair extensions. Yeah, those things are definitely important. But one of the biggest things I hear from men is like, are you in shape? Are you fit? Are you taking care of your body? Are you healthy? Right? Those things go a heck of a long way. So just a little asterisk on that, that, you know, taking care of your appearance doesn't always just mean having a French manicure. And then as far as other ways is just understanding how men think, understanding that male dating psychology is really different than female dating psychology. And rather than making yourself smaller to attract a mate, you are better off focusing on men who you are truly impressed by. And, you know, I will also add that like that might require a little more patience on your end, right? I hear it all the time. Nelly, I'm sick of waiting. Should I just pick someone? It's your life. You can do what you want. But I personally would not encourage you to just get into a relationship for the sake of being in a relationship, because most likely that's going to lead to divorce. So I think you're better off waiting a little bit longer. You know, if you can afford to, you know, keep yourself preoccupied, focus on your passions, focus on being the best version of you, you're going to have a lot quicker and better of a time attracting the kind of partner you want, rather than just succumbing to the societal pressure, getting in a relationship with the wrong person, and then having to essentially spend more time recovering from that relationship and then dating again. Just my two cents. So that's a little bit of, you know, I think why women are up against a lot right now in dating, but also what you can do about it. And then, you know, there are so many more tips we can share in future episodes, but essentially, I think those are a good place to start. I will also add that, like, when it comes to dating, men also are up against a whole other set of challenges if they are successful. So I want to dive into that after the break. Welcome back. So before the break, I was diving into a lot of the complexities and challenges that modern women are up against when it comes to dating. But ladies, especially, you know, if you're listening right now, you'd be probably surprised to realize that a lot of men also have a lot of issues when it comes to dating, and they have a tough time finding love now more than ever before as well. And there are a million reasons for this, but the one I really want to dive into on today's episode is when it comes to successful high-value men, a lot of them fear women using them for their money, because a lot of women do look at them as their meal ticket, do look at them as a savior. And you'd be, you know, I think pressed to find out that, like, actually a lot of guys are seeking meaningful relationships too. And while they might be more than willing to be in their provider mode for women, nobody wants to be used. I mean, I have a male client who actually gave me this quote. He said, Nelly, this is a novel idea, but women don't want to be used for sex. Men don't want to be used for money. Shocking. But yeah, like, a lot of guys do not want to date women who are really only looking at them as like a blank check, or looking at dating as an opportunity to have an experience. And so, you know, with men, it's tough too, because how do you decipher who is really interested in you and who's interested in just what you have to offer financially? Now, that, by the way, I don't, you know, say that to fault women for seeking out provider men. I totally understand the psychology. I'm a woman as well. I get it. You know, we are in a lot of ways hardwired to seek out providers and protectors. But the dating experience for a lot of men has kind of made them salty. It's made them somewhat sour to the whole thing, to a point where, like, a lot of guys don't even want to be chivalrous, not because they don't have a desire for chivalry or because they don't believe in it or because they don't want to do that for the right woman, but because a lot of them have been in situations where they've just simply been used. And, you know, I think one of the things I say to men, if you're a guy and you're listening, I'll extend this advice to you, is while it might be very easy to seek out a woman who is gorgeous, right? You also want to be screening women for other qualities, despite just her looks, right? Is this woman someone who shares the same values? Is this woman someone who aligns with me as far as what we want our lives to look like? Is this woman someone who values me? And sometimes it's tough to really screen for those things on a dating app because it's a two-dimensional platform. You're just looking at the pictures. But what I would encourage more men to do is, you know, if there's a woman who does check a lot of those boxes on paper, maybe it's worth giving her a chance and doing, you know, some kind of meetup that's a little bit more casual, because you never know. And I'll say this too, a lot of women and a lot of men do not represent themselves accurately on dating apps. And so I know so many people who look incredible in person, but if you saw their dating app profile, you'd be like, wait a second, you're the same person, which I'll be covering in a future episode. But point being, I think it's in men's best interest to be somewhat open-minded when it comes to women. I know a lot of men are extremely picky, especially as they become more successful. And look, I get it, but also asking yourself, what is realistic for me? And are my standards too astronomically high in the appearance department and maybe not high enough in the other areas that are actually what I believe constitutes of a really solid life partner? What I'll also say when it comes to men that I see a lot is men who are, you know, claiming that they want something meaningful, they want something serious, but they don't actually take it upon themselves to make an effort in person. You know, I say this advice to women as well, but I think, guys, it's really important that if you are out in public and you see a beautiful woman, approach her. Not enough men approach women anymore. And it's kind of a shame. And it's a little bit of like a lost art. Drop the handkerchief. You know, don't feel like you can't go up to a woman and make small talk. And yeah, you know, you do run the risk of rejection. I think men are a lot more comfortable with rejection than women are. But again, if you see a woman who looks feminine, who is attractive to you, it's okay to make the first move. And I, you know, I'll be honest, in coaching a lot of men and matchmaking a lot of men, one of the things that I have heard time and time again is, oh, I'm afraid to make the first move because I don't want to be me too'd, or I don't want to be labeled a harasser. I think we've kind of gotten a little bit away from that. But at the same time, you do, you know, I think have a different set of challenges as a guy that, you know, are currently making it tough to approach women. But it goes back to that same quote of like, you miss 100% of the chances you don't take. And I also think you should be screening women on the basis of like, who do I want to spend my life with? Or if you want kids, who could be a great future mother to my children? And there are a lot of benefits to dating, you know, intelligent, successful women, because those, you know, characteristics are also really, I think, important when it comes to starting a family, right? She's going to impart her wisdom and her knowledge onto your kids. I can imagine you probably want smart, successful kids. So, you know, it's not to say that you should in any way minimize your criteria. I think if anything, it's just about broadening it and really asking yourself, what are some great characteristics? And also, just because a woman looks hot on Instagram doesn't mean she's going to be a great wife or girlfriend or mom, right? And that's part of the deception of living in 2024 is I see a lot of men basing their decisions on who to date based on how sexy a girl looks on Instagram and in her dating app pictures, as opposed to, is this a woman of substance? Is this the kind of woman who is really going to make me feel like I am unleashing the best possible version of myself as a man? And also, is this someone who, again, has shared values, shared morals, and wants to live a certain life the way I do? You know, I have a client, he told me, Nelly, I don't do dinner dates anymore because I have experienced with dating that a lot of women, if I take them on a wonderful dinner date, they won't kiss me at the end of the date. They'll reject me after. So I'm just kind of sick of wasting the money on that. And I just go on, you know, casual walks on the beach now. We look at the sunset, we grab coffee. So I totally understand that. And what I would say is it's a, you know, one of the things he's doing well is it's a good way to screen women for who's actually interested in dating you versus who's interested in dating you for what you have to offer in that moment. So that's, by the way, not for me to, you know, I know there are a lot of women probably cringing as they're listening to this saying, well, that's not chivalrous. Well, here's the thing, ladies. Are you looking for a life partner or are you looking for a, you know, five-star dinner until you get your next one paid for, right? That's the question you need to be asking yourself. And I bet more often than not, women are looking for a life partner. If your head is in the right place and you're really, you know, interested in taking this next chapter on with someone, then it shouldn't be about whether someone is, you know, spoiling you on a first date. Because here's the thing, a lot of guys, successful guys right now, they're actually kind of doing this, and I hate to use the word test, but they're kind of testing women this way where they're like, yeah, I'm a CEO, I'm a millionaire, but I'm taking her to coffee or I'm taking her to drinks or we're going to do something casual. And then later on, she'll get spoiled. Later on, she'll get princess treatment because again, it's not for a lot of men worth the investment early on just to lead to nothing. So I would just say to women, like, this is something that's becoming very common among men. And I think, you know, I understand where men are coming from with this. And I personally think, you know, while you might be interested in a guy who is lifestyle compatible to you, and maybe your lifestyle is actually, I do want to go to five-star dinners and resorts and all that, that's totally fine. But that expectation shouldn't always be there on a first date. You know, it's worth giving people a chance, but both on, you know, the ladies' end and on the men's end, giving people a chance, being open-minded and seeing, do we get along? Is the conversation there? Can I have a conversation with them? Do we align on the big things, you know, whether that's religion or politics or whatever is important to you, those deal breakers and non-negotiables? That is where you are going to see, I think, the most promising dating experience. And I would also say, you know, regarding kind of what I discussed in the first part before the break, hypergamy, one of the things that I see women do, like I have this one client and she's 38, she's a six-figure earner. She's still going on dates with restaurant managers. I said, well, you know, if you want a guy who's earning six figures, why are you entertaining men who are earning five figures? She said, I don't know. I said, I think it's because you desire control. It makes you feel like you have the upper hand. It makes you feel more confident, right? A lot of the times, guys, we have to resolve those insecurities within ourselves. We have to do the inner work. We have to go on the healing journey in order to really prepare us for the person we're meant to be with. And that's what I want to dive into in this last portion of the podcast. So stay tuned after the break. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Welcome back, guys. So right before the break, I touched on the importance of going on that healing journey and doing the inner work and really making sure we are in tune with who we are from the inside out. And so I want to dive into that a little bit more right now, because the truth is you can be successful. You can have all of the boxes checked on the outside and you can, you know, get all of the praise from the outside world. But if you yourself do not feel confident and whole internally, then the right partner can come along and you can sabotage that situation subconsciously even, because your insecurities are bubbling up to the surface. And so whether you're a guy or a girl, I think it's really important that you do that inner work. And part of doing that inner work is understanding what those patterns have been in our dating lives. Why do we seek out certain partners? Where does that come from? Is that something that was drilled in childhood? Is that something that was kind of indoctrinated in us by our parents? Is that something that, you know, we feel more, you know, we feel more confident with someone who's emotionally avoidant, right? Where does that come from? Because we cannot solve the what if we don't have the why. And so what I implore a lot of you listening to do is to really dig deep and really ask yourself some of those hard-hitting questions of, Why am I seeking out certain partners? And why is it important to me that I have a long-term relationship? Or why is it important to me that I get married? Or why is it important to me that I have someone by my side who does check these boxes, whether it's that they are 6 feet tall, working in finance with blue eyes, or whether it's that, you know, the woman is, feminine and fit and, a great homemaker. Why are these things important to us? What kind of life do we really want to live in this next chapter? The thing is, when we get comfortable with our fears and our vulnerabilities, it's a lot easier for us to actually be open to dating. I think especially for women who are successful, leading with vulnerabilities can feel like being weak. And same with men, by the way, right? Leading with some of those things that make us feel a little bit uneasy might make us feel like we are not real men, right? We're weaker. But the thing is, that's how we develop connection. That's actually how we become closer to people, is by leading with some of those vulnerabilities and insecurities and fears and, you know, making them our personal superpower. For example, let's say, you know, I could actually say this. I was on a date many, many months ago. And I remember saying to the guy, actually, because I come from a family where I wasn't, wasn't super fuzzy and lovey and like kissy and huggy and I love you every 5 seconds, I am not the most comfortable with saying those things. And what was interesting is like that actually brought me closer to him because I was leading with my vulnerabilities. And so understanding ourselves, understanding our needs can really help us actually create connection. I also add that like learning how to create a life that you love on your own, as opposed to waiting for someone to complete your life with you, is, I think, one of the most magnetic and attractive qualities in a person. And it will actually draw in your life partner even more. This is where I can sometimes sound a little woo-woo in the manifestation department because I'm a very spiritual person and I do a lot of meditation and self-concept work, not just on myself, but also with my clients. However, it's really important and it's really impactful because, again, if we don't have a life that we truly love and we're not invested in things that we are passionate about, and we're not always working on self-improvement, and we're just waiting for someone to come in and make our life great, well, that's also going to put us in a desperate state and a state of lack. As when I say state of lack, it's that mindset of like, why haven't I met my person yet? When am I going to fall in love? Am I ever going to fall in love? Am I going to die alone, right? Those thoughts actually become our reality. And so if we choose, and it really is a choice, to replace those thoughts with positive thoughts, and funny thing is actually for most people, 80% of the thoughts that go through their mind every day are negative. So the amount of negative self-talk that people experience is extremely high. And so if you can become a master of your thoughts and really learn how to reframe those negative ones into positive ones, you will start to create a life that is a lot more attractive just energetically. And that energy is going to bring in your partner even quicker. So I really encourage you guys to think about why you want the things you want, why it's important to you to find a life partner. I'll kind of add in one more story here. I had a client who had once told me, Nelly, I want to have a life partner so I can go on great vacations with. I want to hike Kilimanjaro. I want to, climb base camp Everest. I want to do all these amazing adventures. I just need that person to do them with. And I said to her, you can just do this by yourself. You do know that, right? Like, or you could join a group, a travel group, or go with a friend and you could do that with them too. In fact, doing those things that you say you want to do with a partner might actually put you on a path to meet your partner, right? Because when you are doing something you love, doing something that you enjoy, whether it's a hobby, an activity, a passion, you're probably going to be exposed to other people who are compatible with you in that way, right? Maybe you're going to meet someone in Patagonia or on Kilimanjaro who are also, single and looking for, a life partner to do those things with. And so what I would say to anyone listening is like, stop waiting and start creating. Create a life that you love, and also understand who the type of person you are trying to partner up with is. Visualize being in that relationship. Ask yourself, what kind of partner would they want, right? If you want someone who wakes up at 6 a.m., cold plunges, infrared saunas, is working out at the gym, is hiking, is outdoorsy, right? And you're not doing those things, well, guess what? That's probably why you haven't met them. I have another client who's like, I really want to have a life long-term on the beach. And she lives in like Wisconsin. And I was like, well, maybe that's why you haven't met the man of your dreams yet, because he's on the beach and you're not. So sometimes we have to do, you know, certain things on our own and take certain risks. And I always say life begins on the other side of fear. We have to take those risks on our own and recognize that we are going through a season of singleness in order to prepare us for that life partner. What you're going through now is a prerequisite. And until you kind of pass this prerequisite, you're not going to be able to make it into the next chapter. But anyways, I feel like we covered a lot. There's a lot more that I can discuss on this topic. Where I would love to end off though, guys, is if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to give it a rating. Make sure to follow us on either Spotify or Apple. And if you're listening and watching on YouTube, then please subscribe. And I will talk to you in the next episode. Bye.